This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Woodstock Nation. Your host, Marla Davies.
Hello, it's Woodstock Nation, the podcast celebrating the revolution, evolution, and life-changing magic of music festivals from Woodstock to today. I'm one of the producers of Woodstock Nation, the documentary due out this 50th anniversary year. Today is part two of our Burning Man episode. Burning Man happened Labor Day weekend, and although it's not a music festival, it certainly is a major festival, and it is filled with music, of course, and incredible art. Most of the music at Burning Man is played by DJs, and many of them famous DJs too. Tons of EDM, but occasionally something organic happens at Burning Man, and a ragtag group of musicians pop up and perform. Today you're going to hear a piece from the Black Rock Philharmonic. They perform Bohemian Rhapsody from the 2019 Burning Man. Also on today's Woodstock Nation podcast, you're going to find out about a Burning Man exhibit that is traveling across the United States from New York through Cincinnati and soon to arrive in the Bay Area, landing in Oakland October the 12th. Since this podcast is about music festival, let's transport ourselves to the Playa for 2019 Burning Man. Hundreds of burners have gathered surrounding the art exhibit, The Folly by Dave Keen. It's a performance venue depicting a failed fishing village that's turned into a mining village, and then the industry's failed, and the village is somewhat ramshackled, a bit of a ghost town. These installations are just incredibly extravagant. This is a mismatch of buildings stacked one on top of the other, and the pieces have that old-time feel, with most of the building supplies being used as salvaged wood. So gathered in the Black Rock Philharmonic area is the symphony. It's a mismatch of professionals and amateurs. And, you know, there's no audition process. Applicants just fill out a form and come prepared to play. They bring their instruments. They have a few rehearsals on the Playa, and they performed four concerts, mostly classical music, with music from Mozart, Smetana, Brahms, Elgar, Tchaikovsky, and F. Mercury. Hundreds of people are in attendance for the performance, and it becomes a sing-along of Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen. It's sheer jubilation on the Playa, and let's listen in.
Thank you.
Woodstock Nation.
Hey, it's Marla Davies, and you're listening to Woodstock Nation, the podcast. Each year, hundreds of thousands of people emerge in Black Rock Desert, and they help create Black Rock City, which is a temporary metropolis where innovators and makers and artists create experimental and interactive art installations every year. Many of the works of art are ritualistically burned to the ground, but many of the pieces have survived and will be transported to the Oakland Museum of California. This year's theme is Metamorphosis. This immersive and multi-sensory experience will feature many Bay Area artists. There's also jewelry and artwork and large installations and costumes and mutant vehicles, sculptures, photography, and painting. Today on the Woodstock Nation podcast, please welcome Peggy Monahan, who is the Director of Content Development and Curator of the Oakland Museum of California and the exhibit No Spectators, The Art of Burning Man. Hello, Peggy. What an exciting exhibit.
I know. Well, it's an exhibition that actually opened at the Renwick Gallery at the Smithsonian year and a half ago, it's currently, it just closed at the Cincinnati Art Museum, and it will be coming to us, and as its final stop, we're bringing the artwork home, because so many of the artists are local, they're from just around here.
Right, because, you know, they take this beautiful art, make this beautiful art, and then they go to Burning Man, which is kind of in our backyard.
Yeah, exactly. Burning Man started here, and the Bay Area contingent of Burning Man is pretty strong indeed.
Absolutely. Well, it seems legit when you get something that started at the Smithsonian. I mean, doesn't that have that historic kind of like, wow, this is real, right? It's Smithsonian worthy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's really nice. The art is so extraordinary, and for so many people, so many artists. When I am out in the Burning Man community and listening to people, I love people who present about their artwork and start off by saying, "Oh, you know, I never thought of myself as an artist, and now here I am bringing this big art piece to Burning Man." So many of these pieces are made by so many pieces at Burning Man are made by people who are contributing to larger works of art, working with deep within artist collectives, it really inspires a different kind of creativity. And so it's really nice to be able to highlight really extraordinary examples of the art that gets brought to Burning Man, and definitely having the Smithsonian have be the ones that said, this counts as, you know, art.
This is art. Absolutely. Now,
yes.
So have you ever been to a Burning Man? It's been going on forever and ever now. Have you gotten out there?
I know. I have been Burning Man adjacent for a lot of time, but I have not. I have tons of friends who've gone, but I have actually not been able to go. I wasn't able to go last year when we were originally getting this exhibition, and I wasn't able to go this year because we're very busy at the museum here getting ready for the exhibition. But our director and deputy director were able to go both last year and this year. So
okay,
and we have tons of people working on the project. Even though I have the role of curator here, there are so many people involved in every project that we do, and there are lots of people here who went to Burning Man. Our experienced developer, Penny Jennings, on the project went to early years, not in the 80s, but in the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, it's grown to exponential levels at this point. And, you know, you can't even get in if you don't get a ticket. I mean, it's sold out. So you have to really plan ahead.
Right. It's enormous.
Have you heard any tales? Have you heard any tales from the this year's Burning Man?
Well, I've heard various tales. I'm not sure what tales are radio ready.
It's a podcast, so it's the Wild Wild West.
Well, I'm just not sure that I have a clearance from our director and deputy director to talk about
whatever happens
at Burning Man.
Let's talk about the exhibit and some of the art. I'm sure you've been able to experience that. And what can people see? When does it open? So if folks want to join you guys and check it out.
Yeah, the exhibition opens here on October 12th.
Okay.
That's the data. That's the first data to come and see it. Members can see that our museum members can see the exhibition on October 11th, but it opens to the public on October 12th, and it's going to be pretty extraordinary. We'll start installing the artwork. It's being de-installed at the Cincinnati Art Museum right now, put on various trucks, and we'll start installing next week. And we're also will be erecting our own temple. David Best, every year there's a temple at Burning Man, and David Best is the artist from Petaluma who started that tradition.
Okay.
And is most associated with temples at Burning Man, and he's building one for us.
Oh, that's going to be so great. I heard the temple's amazing because, you know, everybody goes in there and it's sort of a spiritual holy place, and people put notes to loved ones, and it's a really quiet, nice spot.
Yeah, it's a place to think back on the year before and to leave memories of people that are important to you. Maybe they've left. Maybe they're just important. And then at the end of Burning Man, the temple is burned, and it's a really important time of release for a lot of people. We'll be building a temple on outside. We have on one of our patios, we have some pretty great gardens at the museum, and people will be able to leave memories. The fire marshal won't let us burn our temple on our
probably
on our
a smart
property,
idea.
but we're going to box up the memories that people leave and send them out to the playa next year to be burned at Burning Man.
Oh, that's so nice. I love that whole the giving back. Well, you know, Burning Man's so interesting because they have the 10 principles of Burning Man,
exactly.
Things that you're supposed to do. And you guys are also going to do a little tribute to that, right?
Absolutely. One of the reasons why we were excited about that exhibition, not only is it an important local art movement, but our museum mission resonates with many of the 10 principles of Burning Man. One of the things that we are focusing on here is the principle of gifting. Burning Man sort of centers the idea of giving gifts as in an unconditional way without expecting a return or reciprocation. It's not barter, it's just giving.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Burning Man often thinks of the artists often think of their artwork as a gift, but rather than just keeping the gifting idea with the artwork, we've partnered with Ace Monster Toys, which is a local Oakland makerspace, and the director there, Rachel McCrafty, otherwise known as the Crafty Avenger. And
what a great name! Her name's McCrafty, and she's an artist. Yeah, it's her destiny.
Yeah. That's her artist name that she's known by.
Okay, good.
And we are making a workshop in the exhibition centered around the Gift-O-Matic, which is a large Willy Wonka-style gumball machine with gifts inside that other people have made. And so you not only can accept a gift from someone who filled the machine before you, but you get a chance to make a gift and leave it for other people. It could be some origami. It could be something that you brought with you especially. It could be haiku or a piece of advice.
Okay.
And you can add your gift to the machine, to the Gift-O-Matic.
That's so fun. I love the whole gifting thing. I think we need more.
Yeah.
More of that kind of thought, you know, of sharing with each other, giving, you know, all the good things.
No.
Of course, our podcast is Woodstock Nation, and so we just had the 50th anniversary of Woodstock. And that, you know, a lot of talk about how there was such a sharing, you know, communal environment. And it's, you know, you feel that with Burning Man, too, especially because they have the principles.
Exactly.
There's actually a book of rules. Hey, this is what you need to do when you come out here. And and it's all good things, you know. It's like, hey, you're creating this together. Be nice to each other. Be good. Be kind, etc.
Exactly, exactly. One of the things that I love about the artwork that we have is it really expresses this one of the principles, which is communal effort. So many of these works of art are created by groups of people, artists, collectives, and in partnership. And that's such an important part of Burning Man, are these large groups of people creating these things that need everybody's skills and need everybody's specific contributions. One of the artist collectives that's really local is Five Ton Crane, and they're more than 130 people were involved in the making of this particular work at Capitol Theater that is a theater on a chassis, so it could have operated as an art car, and it also has a theater with special films that were created, and it even has a concession stand filled with special candy boxes that have puns, and it even has a popcorn machine, which we'll see if we can sometimes operate that popcorn.
It's intermittent.
Yeah.
Because some people I know that went, everyone talks about the cars. They're just so striking.
Yeah, right. And the mutant vehicles.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so extravagant.
Woodstock Nation.
Thanks for listening to the Woodstock Nation podcast. I'm Marla Davies, and we're visiting with Peggy Monahan, who's the Director of Content Development and Curator of the Oakland Museum of California. And we're talking about the exhibit, No Spectators, The Art of Burning Man. And you're going to hear more after this.
Woodstock Nation.
It's Marla Davies, and today our guest is Peggy Monahan, Director of Content Development and Curator at the Oakland Museum of California. And we're talking about the exhibit, No Spectators, The Art of Burning Man. From what I understand, you're going to touch on each of the 10 principles of Burning Man in some way, correct?
Well, we definitely have the 10 principles on the wall. We're focusing and they are discussed in throughout the label text. We're focusing our efforts on more specifically bringing out four of the principles: participation. So many of these artworks are deeply participatory, where you get to leave something of yourself behind. The communal effort, the idea that we're making these things together, that's really very connected to the mission of the museum. Also, in radical inclusion, we really want to make sure that everyone feels welcome and able to participate sees something that attracts them and gets them excited within this exhibition. And also gifting, as I talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. So those four principles are ones that we're focusing on more explicitly, but all 10, including things like self-reliance, self-expression, civic responsibility, immediacy, all of those things are represented within the exhibition, but we're really sort of highlighting those four.
That's fantastic. I didn't realize the depth of Burning Man. When you start to explore it a little more, you think, my goodness, this is just well thought out. It really is, a community that is built every year, and a lot of participation. Everybody has to come, come to the game, come to the party with something in their hands, come empty handed, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone is, it's important that everyone is involved, that everyone feels welcome, everyone participates. That's why the exhibition is actually called No Spectators.
Okay.
Everyone participates.
Exactly. Now, have you had a chance to go to see the exhibit when it was back east at all?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
It's pretty extraordinary. It's pretty extraordinary. I can't wait for people to see the artworks that are showing up here at the Oakland Museum.
It's so nice that some of the art is preserved, because there's the aspect of Burning Man is the burning. And I was explaining, I have trouble with sand art, because It's so beautiful, and I want to hold it and keep it forever, and then blow, it's gone. And so Burning Man has that aspect, but it's nice that some of the art is saved, I have to say.
Yeah, there is definitely beauty in the ephemeral, and but it's nice to have some of these pieces. Many of them actually have been on Playa, but not all of them. There were, for instance, the Capitol Theater, the piece I was talking about earlier, the artist collective 5-Ton Crane has done some really extraordinary things out on the Playa, but none of them fit into the Renwick Gallery. And so this one was specifically created to fit not only in the room, but so that it could be broken down to fit through the doors of the Renwick Gallery.
Okay.
But there are pieces, there are definitely pieces that have been to Playa. One of the pieces that we have, two Shroom and Lumen, which are huge origami mushrooms that chain that are lit from within with LEDs and that change shape as you interact with them. And those have not only been on the Playa, but what I've heard is that from time to time, they will still rain a little Playa dust down upon you as they change their shape.
I was going to ask. I mean, if it was on the Playa, it is probably has some Playa dust on it. That stuff I hear is just sticky. Sticks with you.
Yeah, no. So I think people will just have to consider themselves lucky if they get christened by the Shroom and Lumen raining Playa dust down upon them.
I love it. It's fantastic. Do you have a favorite piece?
Oh, why are you asking for my favorite?
I know, that's not fair. It's like asking your favorite child. They're all my favorites.
I know, but currently, I think I would come down. I'm in love with the Paper Arch by Michael Garlington and Natalia Bertotti. It's this enormous arch that's covered in collage. And collage of textures and images, deep photography. It's striking when you walk up to it, when you see it from far away, and it gets even more intense as you get closer and closer. There are tassels and textures on it, and when you get extra close, you see there are these peepholes that you can look inside and see little dioramas inside. So it never stops.
Wow.
It's forever revealing more of itself to you. You could stand there and just stare at it and see something new every day. So I can't wait to be in front of that piece again.
I can't wait to see it myself. You know, it's funny because, of course, this is going to be amazing at the museum, and the museum, of course, the Oakland Museum of California. And it's it makes me laugh in a way because it's not as gritty, you know. I've talked to people that have gone out there, and it's a real testament of your strength and your survival skills. So this is sort of a cheater way to go, but you get to get to go to the museum in a more lush environment and enjoy the beautiful art, right? I mean, it's a little baby course in Burning Man.
Yeah, well, I think what we'll end up doing is whetting people's appetite for what they can see on Playa.
Right, and what do you people? So people that have never come to Burning Man and they're going to come see this exhibit, what frame of mind? What advice would you give?
Oh, what frame of mind? Well, I would come ready to participate and interact. I think one of the things that we can offer, especially to this exhibition, is because there are so many local burners, we're partnering with a number of burners who will come in and volunteer their time to tell stories and to sort of share their experience and help connect our visitors to the artwork. I would say this is a different kind of art experience. A lot of the art is touchable. I say it's huggable. You know, some of it is deeply participatory. Be ready to share your experience and have a lot of fun. I mean, this is this is a pretty extraordinarily playful exhibition.
That's fun because, you know, I have an art background and sometimes art can be pretentious in a way. Don't touch it. I love art that you can touch, the you know, the textural, you know, the feeling of it. It really is fun. It makes it more fun, participatory, you know, more in a more like a, you know, performance art kind of piece.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
These pieces are immersive. They're things that you can go inside, that you can interact with, and pieces that ask you to leave something behind, whether it's to spend some moments and leave a memory in of someone or something that you want to consider, leave a memory in the temple. There's also a piece by an artist, Candy Chang, called Before I Die. We have a large chalkboard at the front of our museum that we often have people write on, and it's the perfect place for Candy Chang's artwork, Before I Die, which has appeared on Playa and will be here, which just asks you to consider something you want to achieve before you die, before you, with something you want to achieve with your life. And people can leave things on the chalkboard. And I love the images where that I've seen of the various installations of this work, where they're just covered with all of people's thoughts and memories and dreams and plans.
It's very thoughtful exhibit. Yeah. And for me, when I go to see, you know, an exhibit at the museum, I'm usually touched, and sometimes it brings a tear to your eye. It's not just looking at something, it's feeling it, you know. So yeah. I'm very excited. This is going to be amazing, and it opens October 12th, and it runs all the way through February, so there's some good time to see it, to enjoy it while it's going to be here in the Bay Area. Absolutely.
Right.
Fantastic. There's no doubt I'm not going to, I have to come. I will see you. Yeah. I will have to come enjoy.
Well, you do, and we do have a number of programs that we're going to be running. There are some extra good times to come.
Nice.
Every Friday night at the museum is pretty extraordinary, but on Friday, November 8th, we're going to be having an extra special Burning Man block party. So that'll be an extra special edition of our normal spectacular Friday nights, and where we'll have art cars and DJs and other kinds of artists pop up. There are details to come.
Sounds fun.
So that'll be an extra great time. And we're also planning other after hours times, November 14th, December 5th, and January 9th, where there will be tasty food and drink, some special appearances by artists, and late night access to the special exhibition. So you can see artists giving live demos and have a drink and experience the art all at the same time.
Fantastic. It sounds like a wonderful combination. What's the website in case anybody wants to check all that stuff out?
Yeah, our website is www.museumca.org.
Fantastic. I look forward to the exhibit. It sounds fantastic. So much fun. With Peggy Monahan, Director of Content Development, and also the curator of No Spectators, The Art of Burning Man, coming to the Oakland Museum of California. Thank you so much.
This has been fun.
It sounds fantastic. Can't wait to get up there and see it. So I appreciate your time. Great. And thanks for being on Woodstock Nation, Peggy.
Well, thank you.
Woodstock Nation.
Woodstock Nation, the podcast, celebrates the revolution, evolution, and life-changing magic of music festivals from Woodstock to today. Woodstock Nation, the podcast, is in association with Woodstock Nation, the documentary, to be released in 2019, and is brought to you by the wonderful people at Green Age Development. Any music used in the Woodstock Nation podcast is owned by the artist and is used for educational and illustration purposes only. Thanks for checking out Woodstock Nation, liking us, sharing us, and following us. Woodstock Nation is on the Pantheon Podcast Network, and you can find us wherever you listen to your podcast. Talk to you next time. Peace.
Peace, love, and thanks for being part of the tribe. From Marla Davies and everyone here at Woodstock Nation. Tune in, turn on next week.
Hi, I'm Shelley Sorensen, the rock and roll librarian.
And I'm Christian Swain, the rock and roll archaeologist.
I love books, especially books about rock and roll musicians.
Oh, yes, you do, Shelley.
I'm living vicariously, because I've always wanted to be one myself.
Well, doesn't everybody?
I don't know, but those who don't are certainly intrigued by musicians' lives and how they followed their dreams.
Well, then they should listen to our show, huh?
Yes. On this podcast, we discuss one of the books I have read.
But I purposely don't, to keep it interesting and fresh for everyone.
Our conversations are peppered with snippets of songs from the artist's repertoire, as well as music that has inspired and influenced each of them.
The Rock and Roll Librarian Show is a part of the Pantheon Podcast Network.
Look for us wherever you find great podcasts. There's a matchstick man and you.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.